Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, part of it gon' have out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Stupendous. I never felt any better in my entire life, folks. Around the globe tonight, everybody should be elated. Why? The vaccine is out. Is the jury out? We don't know what's going to happen. Well, we're all going to have to stay tuned, aren't we? I understand yesterday over there in the United Kingdom had a bunch of shots, vaccines given to a bunch of people. But then I heard also today that some of them had some adverse reactions to it. So the big question is, do we wait and see, or do we rush out and get it when it's our turn? Well, I don't think anybody will get it who's normal today for at least 3 months, because we got the first line, essential workers and the hospitals and nursing homes and all that kind of stuff. I wish them all the luck in the world. I really do. Every time I hear all these numbers, I'm in shock. And every day they get higher and higher and higher. It's kind of like Jackie Wilson. Let me take you higher. Those of you who remember Jackie Wilson, you'll know what I'm talking about. But nevertheless, It's coming our way next week or the week after. I will tell you folks that I'm not going to do nothing until about June. And at that point in time, I'm going to look at the stats. I'm going to see where, you know, how many people who took it, how many had adverse reactions, how many died from it, and how many of it, you know, superseded and is going along with life. Because there's going to be a little bit of everything, I'm sure. You're old enough, and if you're not old enough, get the guidance from your parents or loved ones or your significant other to find out exactly what's going to happen. Okay, that's enough with the current events. Let me give a shout-out to some beautiful people. Barbara from East New York, Brooklyn. Hey, honey, it was great meeting you. Oh, folks, how would you like to sit down at a restaurant and go to find out 6 feet on another table away from you, there's another person who was born exactly where you were born and is Italian, and she's got her shit together. Boy, I'll tell you, that Barbara, she is really sharp. And to boot, her friend Mary, which my mother's first name was Mary, okay, she's from Los Gatos, and they'd known each other for 35, 40 years having lunch, and I never had such a thrill. It was great meeting both of you girls, and you know what? Hope you have a great holiday, and down the line we can all enjoy another nice lunch together. I want to do a shout-out to Bobby out there in Alabama. Bobby, I hope you're feeling better. I know things that you're under the weather and weren't feeling too good, but our prayers go out to you and everybody else. Terry in North Carolina, same thing with you, honey. I hope you're feeling better. Terry called me and said that she's been under the weather and asked if Father Ray will give her a big prayer, and we're going to get to him too, and I'm sure he'll do something for everybody. And then Kimberly down in Florida, she says, you better get down here, Tom Biscardi. She says, that damn swamp ape is out all over this place. We've been getting calls from everywhere. Well, we're going to try to get down as soon as we can, Kimberly. And then our good buddy, our right-hand man in Arkansas, for Rocky and myself, the Swede, he's under the weather. So, you know, it goes to show you nobody's infallible. Everybody gets sick sometime or another. But at the same point in time, we have our own highway to heaven, and that's through our good old brother, Father Ray. Father Ray, are you out there in New Mexico? Now I got to start worrying about Rocky, my co-host, if he's been indulging in that juice of the grape. Is he on?
He should be.
Father Ray, you were there in New Mexico? Okay.
Oh, he must have dropped off.
Well, whatever.
Here he is. He just called back in.
Okay. Father Ray, you there?
He's on.
Yes, I was here.
Okay, good. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Father Ray with us from New Mexico, Gallup, to be exact. And there's some people in our family that are injured and sick and what have you, and maybe you can give a quick blessing to everybody so we can then go on with the show.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, we turn to you, the source of all strength and consolation. You know all the needs that we have, especially our brothers and sisters who are hurting, ill in one way or another. Please bless them. Touch them with your healing and comforting hand. Strengthen them, that they might be signs of your healing power in our midst, and minister to your people. We make this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you so much, Father Ray. We have a great show ahead for everybody, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go out there to Ohio tonight. Met a young man, sent me some paraphernalia. He's really, really inept and knows what's going on there on the East Coast, especially Ohio. He's into haunted places, UFOs, strange creatures, ancient native sites, sacred geography, and alien contact. And the beautiful thing about it is he's into a career that not many people know about. And I kind of call him our Lewis and Clark. His name is Jeff Craig, ladies and gentlemen, and he's into cartography, which is a fancy name for a map maker, M-A-P-A. Without any further ado, let's get him on the phone. Let's see what he's all about, and let's see what he's come up with and what he's got. Jeff, are you out there, son, from Ohio? Jeff Craig, you out there?
I'm here. Good to be on the show, Tom.
Hey, buddy. Thank you. Thanks so much for being with us. How's the weather out there in Ohio?
We actually got a warm spell just in the last day, up into the lower 50s, and it looks by and I'm in southern Ohio, so that's a lot different than up by Cleveland and Lake Erie. It's probably 10 degrees cooler up there, but yeah, it was really mild today. Nice sunny day, and looking at like a high of 60 on Friday, so I'm looking forward to that.
Wow, yeah. Well, believe it or not, out here in California, we got up to 70 degrees yesterday, and it was about 65 today. So I don't think the weather knows which way it's going because, you know, it's you blink your eyes. Because then at nighttime it gets up to 30, it gets down to 38, 45. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You know the story.
Yeah. Well, out here in the Midwest, it's not unusual to turn on the air conditioning in the afternoon and then turn on the heat at night.
Yeah, it's an amazing feat. I understand. Well, first of all, tell my listeners around the globe, how in the hell did you get into this business?
Well, oh gosh, you know, it's a lifetime of circumstances, Tom. And, you know, I've always been interested in the paranormal. You know, growing up as a kid, when I did, you know, back in the 70s, I was a kid watching shows like In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. And I'm going to movies, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and just, you know, great, great classics. You know, as I got busy with life and started raising kids and stuff and found a career, you know, that interest kind of took a side pocket. And my career is actually in, like you said, map making or cartography. So, I kind of came full circle about 12 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, when I watched a movie called The Mothman Prophecies. And it had already been out for a while, but I had a buddy, Brian, who told me, we gotta watch this movie. We rented it, you know, back in the day when you went to the record, to the Blockbuster video.
Yeah, that's a day of history, isn't it?
It is. I mean, this is, you know, this is going back like 2005.
Yeah.
So we rent the movie, and I'm like, this is amazing. I'd never heard of it. Now, I grew up in the Chicago area, you know, in the 70s and 80s, and then I came to Ohio to go to college in the late 80s and 90s, and then, you know, and
but
I stayed ever
State?
Since. I was at Miami of Ohio, down near Cincinnati.
But I was 1974. In Cleveland, I was in the front pages of their newspaper, and it showed me and the picture that we had taken in Northern California. I'll never forget that.
Oh, cool.
Cleveland something, Tribune, Post, I don't know, one of those names. But we were on the front page.
Plain Dealer, Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Is that what it was?
That's the newspaper that's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we were on the front page there. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you a bit, you know, when the bell goes off in my head when state, you know, things about different areas. Go ahead, continue on.
Yeah, Ohio, I mean, there's so much going on, and, you know, you mentioned a place, and, you know, somebody has a connection to it, I get it. That's what my life is as a geographer, you know. I remember, you know, you meet someone, you shake their hand, and they tell you their name. I forget their name, but I remember where they tell me they were from. I mean, it's how my brain works. So, you know, I watched the Mothman movie, and I look it up, and this is the early days of the Internet. I mean, there was some stuff going on the Internet in 2005, but it wasn't like it is today. But so, you know, I do some research, and I realize that this thing took place like right up the Ohio River from where I was in Cincinnati, just a couple hours. So the next week, we pile in the car and we drive to Point Pleasant. I had to be there. I had to see. I mean, it happened in the 60s, and this was, 2005, but I had to go there just to experience that location. So, after that, I was still really intrigued. I'm like, this is such a huge thing, and I'm in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, a little town on the Ohio River right across from Gallipolis, Ohio, in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and a beautiful country. Love it. Growing up in the Chicago area, I mean, we had flat cornfields. There were no hills. There were very few trees. So anything that has a minor curve or slope to it was like amazing scenery to me. But so I love that part of the country. And Cincinnati's really hilly, too. I love the hills here in Cincinnati. But I just kept thinking about the stuff going on in Point Pleasant. There was a museum there that they dedicated to the Mothman. There was actually a statue downtown that they had an artist conceive out of steel. That's a really cool statue. And I just kept thinking about it. And I had done a couple other side projects where I made some maps where I pinpointed things of special interest to me. Kind of in like the Celtic world, like things that have to do with Celtic culture in North America, like Celtic festivals and bagpipe bands. I kind of put together a map with those kinds of things pinpointed on the map. So then it was an easy translation to realize I need to pinpoint these paranormal things going on. And I was really just doing it for fun on my computer. And the more I researched, the more I could not believe all the stuff going on out there in Ohio. And the map kept getting bigger and bigger, and I'm finally like, I need to get this cleaned up, because I was just kind of putting things out there on my own little map. And I need to make this available because I think other people would be interested. So this was a side project. I had a full-time job. And so on evenings, on weekends, whenever I had the chance, I would work on this map. And over the course of about 2 years of doing research, meeting people, talking to people, driving around, locating these places, I didn't go to all of them. There's no way I'd be able to go to all of them. But going to as many as I could and talking to people, getting books, research, internet, I finally had a map that I was ready to publish. So I got a couple of people that helped with some sponsorships, and I gave them little advertisements on the back of the map, and that helped pay for some of the publishing. And I printed 5,000 copies. I had a map company in Washington, D.C., or a printing company in Washington, D.C., that prints almost exclusively maps because they're because they're so detailed, you need a really good printer. And the one I found in Washington, D.C. is the same one that National Geographic uses to print their maps. They do a lot of maps for the U.S. government and state highway maps that you get for free at the road stops and stuff. So these 5,000 maps sold out in about a year. I couldn't believe it. So I made a few updates because after doing the first edition, I found a couple errors I'd made, some typos, and couple people contacted me and said, this needs to be that and whatever. So I printed a second edition about a year and a half later, another 5,000 maps, and it sold out in about a year. Stores were selling it, gift shops, different places, and I had a little website that I used to sell the maps one at a time. And
do you still have the website?
I do.
Blurt it out there to the people around the globe, and they can order your maps there on your website?
Yeah, it's just real easy. They can go to CelticMaps.com. Celtic, like with a C, like the Boston Celtics or Celtics, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. www.CelticMaps.com. And then there's a couple of menu options at the top. I think if you go to store, you go to that page, and you'll see a big copy of the map. And if you scroll down underneath the map, there's a little Buy Now button.
Well, at the end of our interview, we're going to let you do that again. You know, I've got a
appreciate it.
A light went off in my head right now. And ladies and gentlemen, I've got a copy of this thing. It's unbelievable. Okay, you really got to get one. The size of this thing and the info is just incredible, and it covers all the different aspects. Kind of like with our new movie, Monsters, Myths, and Myths. Monsters, Mysteries, and Myths, excuse me, or something like that. But we cover UFOs, we cover the Bigfoot, we cover paranormal. It's the same thing he has here on these maps. I think what you need to do, though, Jeffrey, is if it was me, I would do, because nobody's ever done it. Okay, nobody has ever done it, and if you do it, you make sure you mention me. I gave you the tip on it.
Okay,
do the mapping of the last 5 years of all the sightings of Bigfoot, or you can do the last 25 years, quarter of a century, last quarter of a century.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of homework involved in that to get it done. But it's out there, and you can
it
do
is.
It. And then that will prove to the world that there's not just one Bigfoot. Because you could show on one given day that, oh, my God, there's one in Ohio. There's one in Alabama. There's one in California, Washington, Illinois, and so on and so forth. How can they all be seen the same way? Well, wait a minute. Are they from the alien part of this thing?
Right.
Or are they the missing link? Do they travel in pods, family pods? Are they nocturnal? They feed and travel at night? Do they go a bearing of north to south depending on the times of the year? Nobody has ever done that, Jeff. And I'm telling you,
that's a
blockbuster. Yeah. It would be one hell of a blockbuster. Ladies and gentlemen, I told everybody in my crew, I've had a hectic last 3 days taking care of business and what have you. And Rocky promised me, he said, listen, Chief, you go ahead and just start to show up, and me and Leo will handle it from there. You stay on here. Leo, are you out there? Rocky, is Leo on?
He's on.
Leo, you there?
Well, he's on there two times. Let me try this other one.
Yeah, now I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay.
How are you, Leo?
Hey, doing great, doing great. Hey, sorry for my tardiness. I had a computer brain fart, and I'm here in the flesh.
Okay, good. So, Leo, say hello to Jeff. Jeff, say hello to Leo.
Hello, Jeff.
Did you hear any of the conversation at all?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I got some great questions and some great ideas for them. And,
okay, good. So what's going to happen now, I'm going to TO the show, ladies and gentlemen, to Rocky and Leo, and they're going to still talk with Jeff, and then they're going to have a roundtable afterwards. And then make sure, Leo, that Jeff gets a chance to spurt out his website and how these people can get these maps. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Wait until you see this thing. When you get on his website, it's phenomenal. And it has those six categories, and it's going to knock your socks off. Jeff, personally, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Such short notice. And, sweet, I hope you start to feel better, son. And I'm sure you will with that prayer from Father Ray. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Gotta go.
Rocky.
Hey, Leo.
Who brought you? I am here. Hey, Jeff, it is a pleasure to be talking with you. I'm Leo, the Bigfoot Hunter, and I got some great questions for you. My first question for you, Jeff, would be, with all the data that you have on this map, is it any way possible, especially with the Searching for Bigfoot team, and we would definitely be your pilot program, is there any way that we can input or try to put together a program where we can input information such as attacks, footprints being found, and the sightings of these creatures to where we could possibly make a database where it could probably put us in the right direction where we can finally unsolve this mystery of Bigfoot, where we can finally capture one of these creatures, or we can finally get more info on these creatures. Any way we could create a program like it, you think?
Yeah, definitely. Even with just using Google Maps, you can make custom maps and do different categories. You could do a category of attacks. You could do categories of sightings, or whether just were footprints found. I mean, you can pick whatever category you want and make multiple categories using Google Maps. So it could be across the entire U.S. And then from there, just start entering the data and enter the date, the time, whatever. Maybe use the latitude and longitude coordinate for the sighting location, or if you have an address. I doubt you have an address because it's going to be in the middle of nowhere or the middle of the woods or something. But these are possibilities that you could use. My map is not, you know, it's a paper map. So I've got on my Ohio map, Hidden Ohio, I have a representative sampling. I don't have every Bigfoot sighting that's ever occurred in Ohio, because it would fill up the map and it would be unreadable. It would be too many.
Right.
And besides Bigfoot, I've got haunted places. I've got some UFO sightings. I've got some Native American sites like Serpent Mound that's been pointed. And so the map, you know, would fill up quickly. And it's a big enough map already. It's 38 by 50. And it folds up like a regular road map. But when you unfold the thing, you know, it's going to take up your entire kitchen table.
Oh, good.
It's that
good,
big
good,
for Ohio.
Good,
yeah.
Good. And my next question to you is something that's probably intriguing to all the millions of listeners around the globe is, on this map, how many pieces of information on this map have you personally contributed, where you had your any encounters that you've had out there in Ohio?
Yeah, I didn't put anything that's like been a personal encounter with me, and I haven't had anything where I've had any personal encounter with Bigfoot or seen a UFO. I've been to many of these places where these things have previously occurred. I've visited a lot of these haunted places on the map. Some of them are very famous that people probably know about all around the country and all around the world, like the Ohio Reformatory up in Mansfield. Better known as Shawshank Redemption, you know, prison. Actually, it was filmed right there in Ohio at that prison. Very haunted prison, and you can do overnights there, which I've done with a ghost hunting group to see if we could experience anything paranormal. And so, you know, I've been to these places, but when I was making the map, I was really doing research to kind of get a historical precedent for where these things have happened across Ohio. And the Bigfoot sightings that I put, there are dozens of them across the state that I chose. They were very reputable sightings based on some of the resources that I used. And so I'll put the date down, and then there's a little Bigfoot icon with like an arrow going to the place as close as I could pinpoint it. Sometimes you don't know the exact spot, and sometimes people don't want to reveal the exact spot. So if that's the case, I'll at least put it in a general vicinity.
Okay. And have you ever been contacted by any other researchers, not just Bigfoot, any other paranormal researchers out there that wanted you to try to map out or do this type of project, in any kind of way?
I have not. No.
Well, you know, that's
what. Let me get Doyle on here and see if he's got any questions.
Okay. Because, you know, just like the Godfather said, that would be a good project, you know, when you're mapping out. And I know you can't put everything on there, every sighting that everybody has, because, like I say, the map will be covered with Bigfoot. But, you know, yeah, some of the main sightings that's very, very prevalent in the world today of Bigfoot would be a good thing for Bigfoot researchers.
Yep.
Doyle, you out there?
Yep, I'm right here.
Doyle, you got any questions for Mr. Jeff? Mr. Craig himself, the map maker.
I do have some questions. you talk about, you know, your alien sightings and all this other stuff. But as far as Bigfoot sightings, just Bigfoot sightings alone, can you do a topographical map and across the United States and show where the most Bigfoot sightings are coming from? Can you do that?
Well, it's funny you should mention, I'm finishing up a national map similar to the Sidon, Ohio map. And that's one reason I reached out to Tom to see if he had advice or interest in sponsoring that project or anything like that. So this national map I call Map in Black. And I call it that because the base map is black. It's, the United States, the states are all black outlines. And then just like the Ohio map, I've got pinpoints of Bigfoot sightings, haunted places, other strange creatures all around the country, water monsters that are found in lakes, werewolves, chupacabra, frog creatures, Mothman. So, it's a kind of a paranormal map of the entire country, and it goes into Canada and down into Mexico a little bit too, just the way I put the border around the U.S. And I couldn't put every sighting on the map. It's even less detailed than the Ohio map, just because it covers such a large area. But I put the biggest areas of Bigfoot sightings, Arkansas, Northern California, places in Eastern Ohio and West Virginia, up in Washington State, Idaho, Montana, these places.
I'll say this much to you. You're close to the Appalachian Mountain chain.
I am, yep.
And I am too. And this is I'm on the Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee border.
Okay. I heard you talking on last week's show. Yeah. I had listened.
Cumberland Gap then that's where I'm at.
Oh, sure. Yep. Sure do. Well, you're in the thick of it. I'm just on the fringe of
the
foothills.
I'm in the foothills. Everything that's been sighted. But ever since they closed down Massacre Mountain and they opened up this tunnel that was sponsored by government officials, they spent like $88 million to build this tunnel through the Cumberland Gap. But the thing that's weird about this is since they started this, they had the government radioactive place in Tennessee, and certain trucks are required to stop in the Cumberland Mountain Tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when these trucks are required to stop in the Cumberland Mountain Tunnel, in the Cumberland Gap,
mm-hmm.
we have an increase in sightings in Bigfoot.
Makes sense. The truck is stopped, they have time to look around.
Well,
no one's allowed in that tunnel but those trucks, 10, 20 minutes. No one's allowed in that tunnel except for certain trucks that are considered hazardous cargo.
Right.
But the increase of the Bigfoot sightings have grown enormous down there. So, do you think there could be a coalition between the Big Feet and the government?
That might be a bit beyond my pay grade. It does definitely sounds like there's something that has changed to create more Bigfoot sightings. So you definitely have to look at the cause and effect.
Every week I come on this show and I tell everybody, I'm not Corona. I'm immune to Corona. I don't give a damn about Corona. I have swim in the Cumberland River, and I say this every week. And I swim in Yellow Creek growing up, and I've ate mud pies made by my sister. So I'm immune to any damn disease that can get you ever sick.
I do. I listened to last week's show, and I do remember you saying that. And you guys were just going off about some great cooking and food topics that really actually got me all. I'm telling you right now,
I will come to anybody in this area of the country that has a Bigfoot sighting. But we've had so many increased Bigfoot sightings in this part of the country since that tunnel opened up. It's Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Hell, I'll call the name. It's Oak Ridge Nuclear Power Plant.
Yeah.
East Tennessee. And that's where all the trucks get stopped from.
Yep. Well,
nuclear waste or anything from Oak Ridge, Tennessee gets stopped in that tunnel. And nobody's allowed to go through that tunnel until those trucks get through there.
Sure. Yep.
Now, you tell me with that and 100% increased Bigfoot sightings over here in the Appalachian Mountain chain, there's not something going on there.
It would be definitely something to look into. On my map that I'm making for the entire country, I expanded some of the things I wanted to pinpoint. So besides strange creature sightings like Bigfoot and hauntings and UFOs, I'm putting military bases and astronomical sites, NASA sites. I have Oak Ridge on there because you want to look and you want to see if there's a correlation between where the military bases are, the UFO sightings are. You know, Area 51 is the big one, of course. But, you know, you have Wright-Patterson Air Force Base here in Ohio. I mean, there's military bases all over.
I think the nuclear sites is also a good thing to look at.
Like a nuclear power plant?
Rockies have his experience with them. Trust me.
At a nuclear power plant. A closed nuclear power plant that a lot of the people would talk about, you know, the lights, the traffic. Mm-hmm. The traffic was coming in from a back gate. Nobody knows where that is. I've looked for it, but the nuclear facilities of that type. I mean, who's going to go on it? Who's going to go on a nuclear facility to see if there's anything, you know, out of pocket?
Or you're allowed to. They've got one of the most powerful security forces in the state of the United States at Oak Ridge.
Oh, yeah,
Green,
sure.
You can't get within 3 miles of that place unless they're tracking you down and they hunt you down and they pin you down.
Mr. Craig, I got a question for you.
With your maps,
are you showing certain contours? I hadn't been on the website, which I'm going to go on your website and look at it because I find out the information that you're giving out is very intriguing, and I'm sure the researchers out there, no matter what they do, if it's primate or anything of the ghostly nature that they're looking for, it's very intriguing. But for the people that go out, far as Bigfoot hunters, does your map show like contours and show certain areas where people that's going into these areas can find an avenue to go in and do their research? Is it very detailed?
Here's my question. Mm-hmm. Is the government using primates to try to train super soldiers, and we're confusing them with big things?
The map I made that shows Ohio is similar to what you would get like for a state highway map. When you unfold it, and like I said, it's huge. It's probably bigger than your state highway map of Ohio, and it's definitely much more detailed. I don't have contours like for elevation. Just you wouldn't the map is not large enough to show that across the entire state. I would have to do one little area. And I could definitely do custom mapping if people, if there'd be enough interest to get custom mapping of the contours.
I would be very interested because I happen to have a very close personal friend that had a very big problem with C4 in Arkansas, which was a closed nuclear power plant, when they were just trying to hunt some damn squirrels, you know? And I just want to know right now if there are any more sightings or anything going on. Is there any way to map that the sightings are going on in places that are close to these nuclear power plants, these government facilities? That's what I'm looking for.
You know, the nuclear power plant thing, after we get done with Jeff, what I'll do is I'll tell you what's happened with C4 since Tom got into the picture.
Hey, Rocky, let's pay some bills and come back and jump right into that.
All right, we can do that. Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, convinced him, and I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Hey, Rock, real quick before we jump back in.
We're back.
Hey, Jeff, real quick before we jump back in to you, Mr. Craig, and all the listeners out there, if you want to look at a great movie and you want to see the Godfather himself, Tom Biscardi, in action, go to Tubit TV. That's TUBITV.com and type in Tom Biscardi in the search engine, and you pull up Brutal Bigfoot, and I'm telling you, you go ahead and get you a big bucket of popcorn, and you'll sit down, and you have a real treat if you want to see Bigfoot investigation. You want to see him in action doing the research. So if you get a chance, go to Tubit TV and check out Brutal Bigfoot. I'm telling you, it'll
okay,
be a good movie
Jeff,
to do.
Don't go anywhere. Listen in to the show. But what Doyle was talking about, the friend that he's talking about was me. Me and my dad got caught close to a nuclear facility that had supposedly been down for since the 60s. Well, anyhow, we were hunting, and, you know, it was not exactly in season, but, you know, that's back in the day, that's kind of what we did. But there was a shot fired, and anyhow, we grabbed our spoils and headed for the truck. And just as we was getting to the truck, there was a van came down the road, and didn't have any lights on or anything until they got right to us. They flipped the lights on. People jumped out with guns, put us on the ground, handcuffed us, and put us in the back of the van. Well, no windows or anything. We couldn't see where we were going. Anyhow, long story short, we spent 5 days with them, and we got the crap kicked out of us trying to get information that we didn't have. I mean, we were poachers, yeah. My dad had killed a coon. And anyhow, they, like I say, long story short, it was supposed to have been closed down for years. Well, I told Tom all about it, what happened. And it was just short time after that, Tom gave me a call, and he had a congressman on the line, and we did a conference call, and the congressman was asking me about all this stuff. Well, yeah, I was getting nervous about it, but anyhow, he said, yeah, I'm looking on my computer right now. I see the area. And he said, how long has it been? I gave him this story on the nuclear facility itself. And then he, it was just shortly after that, my good buddy the Swede called and told me to turn to Channel 5 News. All right, Channel 5 News was on, and there was black, the big black van-looking things that the cops, the government drives. Mm-hmm. They were blocking the road off. They were blocking the road off from, on both sides of C4. There's no way in, no way out. They had the roads blocked. Said that there was a big fire. Well, it was a paper fire. And it was just, you know, yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. And, you know, the congressman, he asked the questions. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, this is all turning up. Okay, the paper fire. Well, it was put out, but not by the. They wouldn't allow the fire department, the cops. Nobody was allowed to go to the site. Well, they finally got it under control, got it all put out and everything. And shortly after that, all of a sudden, after trying to get it cleaned up for 20-something years, all of a sudden they were given the money to do the cleanup, and it no longer exists. I mean, the dome is gone, everything is gone. You would never know that there was anything like that there.
Ooh.
And that was until Tom got involved, and I got to talk to the congressman or senator, whatever he was. You know, the place was just, it was a mystery place, because, you know, a lot of people around there said that they saw strange lights, strange vehicles. When I took Tom and them out there, we had vehicles that showed up with a completely blacked out windows, watching every move we made. And so my move was to get in the truck and get out of there. But anyhow, that's what Doyle was talking about. And that's why I said that the nuclear facilities are something to keep an eye on.
Well, that would be something I might consider putting on.
Right now, let me tell you something. Right now, it's just weird to me that they have hazmat lanes in the Cumberland Gap Tunnel. Okay? And you can drive 20,000 gallons of propane fuel through that tunnel and not get stopped. But trucks that come through there with no placards get stopped, and they get put into the tunnel for 2-3 minutes at a time with 26 exits on each side. And nobody questions it. Well, by God, I'm questioning it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it reminds me of the old TNT plant outside of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, which was up and going during World War II. It, by the 60s, it had become abandoned, and that's where the first sighting of Mothman was, in the Point Pleasant area. These teenagers had driven to this TNT plant one night, and this creature was up in the rafters. So, you know, is there something that's got spawned out of these chemicals or government activities going on in the TNT plant? Were they doing other things?
With the increase of the Bigfoot sightings here, is this not maybe a government experience? It's an experience.
There's a lot of people think that.
Well, you know,
Think about it. Let's think about it for just one second. Now, if Bigfoot were to be, say, a Bomangali gorilla with DNA injected into it to make it a super soldier, and they were releasing them into the Appalachian Mountains in order to train, what would be the perfect place to release them to? Inside that damn tunnel.
Man, I have an obligation here. I promised these people that I would answer their emails, and I'd like to get that done real quick, if that's okay.
Yep.
Let's go do it, baby.
Okay, I got an email from Curtis. Is there any chance of capturing a Bigfoot without killing it? Okay, my way of thinking is, yeah, there may be a chance of us capturing one without killing it. If you kill it, that's not actually capturing it. You're just bringing in a body. But, there probably is a chance of capturing one without killing it. And as soon as somebody figures out how to do that, email me, and we will definitely give it a shot. Okay, we have a person that calls themselves Moonglow. It says, have you ever thought to drug a Bigfoot to capture it? Well, Moonglow, I think probably you would know more about drugs than us. But what my suggestion would be is, as soon as you figure out the drug, figure out the dosage, figure out how to administer the drug and all that,
right.
You and Curtis get together and give me, let me know how to do it.
Hey, let me tell you something, Rock. You might get the thing enough to kill an elephant over, dead over. But it might not kill a Bigfoot over. It might kill your own thing.
Yeah.
What do you do?
We've been asked that question before.
My opinion is on this. is that somebody's going to have to take one for the team.
Yep, exactly.
If we
okay.
It's real.
Here's the third question. Here's the third question. What is the purpose? This is from Daniel. What is the purpose of catching a Bigfoot? Is it for money or is it for fame? Well, you said earlier, Doyle, that it's for scientific purposes. That's the best reason. If we get one, no matter how we get it, if one is on the table or one is in the cage or whatever, then the rest of them from
ago,
that time on will be.
Ago, 40 years
the,
ago,
the,
Rocky, 40 years ago, a three-toed sloth didn't exist.
Well, neither did the gorilla that long ago.
You know?
Well, you know, it's the what our main purpose is if we get one, it is to for the researchers, and then all the everybody will say, oh, you know, we can't kill these things, okay? So if one has to die, if one has to die to keep the others from getting killed, well, so be it. Okay.
So be it.
The last email was from Glendon, who is an angry man, I guess. It says, if you kill one, I hope you die and burn in hell. Okay, in this context, Glendon, the word die is spelled D-I-E, not D-Y-E. You dye clothes. You dye stuff like that. When you die and burn in hell, that means that you have physically expired. All right. So that question, I mean, I'm sorry that we don't live up to everybody else's expectations. If we can catch one, we'll catch one. If one comes up and surrenders, you know, fine and good. But we've got to do what we got to do. And, Without a specimen, living or dead, without a specimen,
you gotta have it. You gotta have one.
Yeah. Then it's just going to go ahead and be a mysterious creature.
One has to take the fall. One has to take the fall.
That's why they call them mythological creatures, because they, you know, everybody says, well, you know, it's a myth. Okay, if we find one, it's like I say, if it wants to come in on its own or whatever happens, I would love to bring one
in
alive.
Same thing with the unicorn. Same thing with the unicorn. If you can't prove that a unicorn exists until you kill one.
I'm afraid that's the answer. It was good having you on. We're glad that you came on. We will have you on again in the future.
Thanks.
If that's all right.
Thanks, Rocky. Yeah, it's always great to listen in and to be part of it. Finally, I love the show. You guys
awesome.
Have a great,
awesome.
Great connection
awesome.
And good natured, and it's always interesting. And if people want to get a map, they're only $10. Just go to my website, CelticMaps.com. I've got a new map coming out in early 2021 of the whole country, pinpointing Bigfoot and paranormal sightings. It's called Map in Black. You can go to MapinBlack.com. And I also have Facebook pages for my Hidden Ohio map and my Map in Black.
Mr. Craig,
awesome.
Want to thank you for being on the show.
I'll be buying mine.
We want to thank you for being on the show, Mr. Craig.
Thanks,
Leo.
I'll buy mine right now. I'll go buy it. As soon as I'm available, I'll buy it.
Doyle, Leo, Jeff, Father Ray, thank everybody for coming on. It was a good show. Enjoyed it. And we'll see you back here next Wednesday.
Take care, folks.
Good night.
The best, guys. Thanks.
Good night from Kentucky.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the facts.